Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Love Strategies. I'm Nina Atwood, and my goal is to take you on an inspiring journey of self-discovery and relationship recovery. I'm the host of the show, but this is really all about you, and it's for you, the single woman who wants to date smart and find the love of her life. On this show, casual sex is dumb, being choosy is smart, and the prize is a healthy, loving relationship that lasts. So call in, share your dating and relationship stories, ask the questions that keep you awake at night, and get coaching. The number to call in is 347-308-8511. That's 347-308-8511. Now, stay tuned for Love Strategies.
Listening to Love Strategies. I'm Nina Atwood, your host, and if you're joining us for the first time today, welcome to the show. If you've listened before, I'm really glad you came back. On this show, what we're going to talk about today is the myth of free love. Now, if you're close to my age, which I won't mention, but just let's just say that I'm part of the baby boom generation, so that's going to give you a range anyway, but if you're close to my age, then you know what I'm talking about if I say free love or the free love movement. And if you're under the age of 45, well, you might not know what I'm talking about, but listen up, because the free love movement has already impacted your life. It was a historical phenomenon. It's still going on. And if it hasn't, it will. So it does have an impact on all of us as women. And I'm going to share with you today the real story of what that means, free love. So while I'm talking today, I want you to be listening and thinking about your own life, about your relationships. Are you where you want to be in your life? Are you having the love that you want? If you are not, call in. Ask your questions. Share your story with me. The number to call in again is 347-308-8511 if you're listening to the show using your telephone as opposed to the internet, then you know by now that there's a little button you can press and you can be asked to join the show. So do that if you want to chime in at any point. All right, so I want to talk a little bit about what the term free love really means. Well, in the 1960s, those of us who were around that long ago, then will remember that the term free love became associated with kind of a lifestyle, a sexually promiscuous lifestyle, the notions of, having sex with whoever you wanted to, multiple partner relationships, not really staying in the boundaries of monogamy. It was kind of a philosophy of the hippie movement, if you will, which was really the idea of taking sex outside of the bonds of marriage, kind of saying, well, we don't need that. Just forget about those kinds of boundaries. If you want to be with someone, then be with someone. It doesn't really matter whether you're married or not, or even if one of you is married to someone else. I mean, that was the way that we associated that term free love, kind of beginning along the 1960s. So, but that was really not the true origin of the term. A lot of people don't realize this, that the term free love came about decades before the 1960s. And what it was about, it was largely a part of the women's movement, the movement to create or to grant freedoms, the same kind of freedoms to women that men enjoyed. And part of that movement was the idea of the free love movement, which was really about taking personal relationships between men and women and also same-sex relationships and to deregulate them by government and get them out of being interfered with by the church. So the idea of the real free love movement was that if two people wanted to form an intimate relationship, then the church should not tell them when or if they should marry, and the state should not, or government should not tell them when or if they should marry. So decades ago, those people who fought for free love, what they were really trying to do was to release women in particular from being subjugated by government and religion. They wanted us to be able to choose our partners or husbands or whomever it was we wanted to be with in life. And prior to that time, women could not do that. But the free love movement, in it, the way it originated, being about freeing women from being subjugated by church and state, really worked. And because it worked, we now enjoy tremendous liberties in this country and in most of the Western world as women. We are today, in Western societies, we are free to choose if or when to form an intimate relationship, if or when to marry somebody, and even if or when to form a same-sex relationship. And today you see the final stages of the free love movement being played out in our political arenas as one state after another makes same-sex marriage legal. So all of that got started decades ago. And a lot of it was about achieving freedoms for women. And we are so insulated here in our country that we just don't realize it. But there are still literally billions of women in the rest of the world that do not have the freedoms we do. These women live in societies that force them into marriages they do not want, often even at horrifically inappropriate ages. Girls who are not just underage, but sometimes 8, 9, 10, 11 years old are married off to far older men. And this is, of course, a terrible oppression that still goes on in huge parts of the world. Huge societies still do that. So for us to have achieved this kind of freedom here really is an amazing thing. We don't stop to think about it. We take it for granted. If you're younger than my generation, you really take it for granted. You don't even have any memory of women ever being subrogated. So, you know, freeing relationships from this oppression by the church and state was a really important goal for women and for men, because prior to that, you know, you could have found yourself really being persecuted in some way simply by loving someone else that society didn't think you should love. So interracial couples were forbidden to marry, even when they lived together. Some of these couples in the 1950s and 60s, interracial couples, lived together, were deeply in love, had children together, and yet were forbidden by the state to get married. This makes no sense. It boggles our minds today that that kind of thing actually went on, but it did. And, you know, women who were in love with the men that they were with, but if they had premarital sex and anybody found out, they were shunned in society for that. Women who got pregnant, of course, outside of marriage were automatically sent to what were called homes for unwed girls, and they were shunned by society. And the thing about those, I guess, societal taboos is they really didn't apply to men equally. So when women got pregnant, the men were not shunned for having created that, co-created that child. It was the women who were. And then, of course, any woman who was lesbian had to hide every aspect of her life from the rest of the world out of fear of retribution. So it is really an amazing accomplishment for us to change these things. We know those things needed to change. But what is the mythology that we've kind of been stuck with? Because I think there is something else that came out of the free love movement that got an extra twist in the 1960s that wasn't really what the movement was all about. And that little twist that we got on it in the 60s says something like this, that there, you know, sexual behavior is should be just whatever the heck you choose, whenever, however, wherever, doesn't matter, there's no consequences. And really that idea came out of the what we kind of refer to as the sex, drugs, and rock and roll culture of the 60s in this country. And it went something like this. This is sort of what that philosophy was about. You are free to choose what and how to express yourself sexually. It is just sex, which is a biological function and nothing more. It is pleasurable, so why shouldn't you enjoy it any way you want? And don't worry about the consequences. The only thing you should concern yourself about is not getting pregnant or getting someone else pregnant. Of course, those were the days before we knew about AIDS and other sexually transmitted diseases. So that part didn't even factor in. Now, and I'm going to go out here on a limb and I'm going to say something that I know will get backlash from the guys, but I think that those attitudes about sex came primarily from the rock and roll music industry, which was dominated by men. And a lot of them were, not all of them, but a lot of them were what we would kind of call bad boys. You know, these were the guys who were on permanent tour with tons of women as groupies, just following them around. The drugs flowed freely. The sex was random and thoughtless. You know, it was kind of a heyday for bad boys in the rock and roll music industry. And it would have been probably not so bad if it had stayed confined to that industry and to some of the so-called bad boys. But that culture, that sex, drugs, and rock and roll culture kind of spread out into mainstream culture to a large extent, especially for my generation at that time. And so it became something that was the background or the backdrop of a lot of movies. Hollywood mirrored it. And so you see that playing out today when we have the most popular show on television about a guy who lives in Malibu, has sex on a regular basis with hookers, does drugs, and of course is incapable of monogamy with anybody. And I'm talking, of course, about Two and a Half Men. I personally think the half man in that show is not the kid, but Charlie Sheen. Only the housekeeper in the show comes across like a real woman, and even that's questionable since she often seems to egg on the guys and their bad behavior. All the other women in the show are gorgeous, sexy sex objects of the two brothers, primarily Charlie Sheen. And, you know, if this show had gone on the air 20 years ago, we would have been in an uproar about a show with those kinds of themes. A show like that could only be possible in our culture as a result of the so-called free love movement of the 60s that kind of spread into mainstream culture. It made things that used to not be acceptable way too acceptable. And I'm not saying that all of us who grew up in the 50s and 60s got into sex, drugs, and rock and roll as a lifestyle, because that is certainly not true. Most of us have lived very normal lives, and most of us have stayed within the boundaries of committed relationships and marriage. But what you do see is that it became mainstream in the media. And I think that is the thing that has played out into what we see in today's world that I don't think is so terribly functional. And the notion of just do whatever you feel, it'll all work out. And so you see it today in the singles world with young women who put their bodies on display, who are terribly insecure and terrified that if they don't put their sexuality out front immediately, they won't have a relationship. And guys who feel like they don't have to put any real effort into a relationship. You know, they basically just kind of show up, The women are all on display. Just pick the body that you want. That's not the outcome we wanted when this whole thing decades ago got started, the notion of freeing women from some of the oppression that existed. And the early free love movement was not about promiscuity. It was about women being able to marry the men that they chose and men that they loved, as opposed to being forced to marry men they did not love. It was really about elevating love and commitment to a higher plane, where it wasn't just a bargain that was struck by different families around them, but rather that it was two people who could come together for the highest and best reasons that two people come together to share their lives. But instead, what it's all unraveled into is this notion of really not paying any attention to the consequences of being promiscuous and having sex with people that you don't care about. All right, so we're going to take a break. And after the break, we're going to take a quick look at the truth about love and what really works if you want to have a great relationship that lasts. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Nina Atwood. Does this sound familiar to you? You start a new relationship full of hope that maybe this time he's the one. But weeks, months, or even years later, you realize that although the name and face have changed, the story is the same. He's all wrong for you, and now you have to continue suffering or start all over. Well, you don't have to keep repeating the same old patterns. If you want to raise your relationship game and put yourself on a whole new course for a happy, healthy, lasting love, get Temptations of the Single Girl, the 10 Dating Traps You Must Avoid. This is a self-help book like no other. It's a parable, an easy, fast story you can read in 2 to 3 hours. The fact that it's a story and not just dry, boring data means you'll retain the lessons learned far longer. And the more you retain, the greater the changes you'll be able to make in your life. That's why I wrote it this way, to make it easy for you to get what you need to permanently alter your love life for the better. You can get the book by clicking on the book cover right from the show page, or you can go to singlescoach.com, find the tab for books and tapes, then click on Singles Coach A Store. Temptations of the Single Girl is available through Amazon.com and as a Kindle book. And now back to more love strategies.
You're listening to Love Strategies. I'm Nina Atwood, your host. We're talking about the myth of free love today. Again, if you have something to share, call in at 347-308-8511. All right, here's the truth about love. We are wired to intertwine sex and love. It's because we are human beings, because not only are we human beings, we're mammals, and we bond and attach. That is the reality. Attachment is the word. And the only people who don't get attached are the ones who are incapable of it. We call those people narcissists. And we sometimes call them sociopaths. And you don't want to get tangled up with somebody like that. Women are especially wired to bond when we have sex with someone that we are attracted to. Our bodies actually produce a hormone called oxytocin in the aftermath of sex. And because of that, after sex, often women are feeling much more emotionally close than men are. It's not across the board that way, but it's very largely women who especially bond. So because of bonding and attachment, it makes no sense to have sex with someone you don't know or don't know well, because there's too much emotional risk at stake. You know, most women that I run across in my work, most women dream of a wonderful marriage to a great guy. That's just the reality. Most women dream of that. Most women want that. And if you believe that is possible, then I think you have to take stock of your history and look at the times that maybe you've slept with guys who don't love you. Maybe you hoped that they would. Maybe you were intending there to be a relationship, but you didn't wait until there actually was a good relationship and a good bond with that guy. So if you look back at your history and you see that you've done that more than one time, you know, if you did it once and you learned from it and you haven't done it again, then that's one thing. But if you see that you have a pattern of sleeping with guys who don't love you, who aren't committed to you, what I want you to do is take a look at that and ask yourself, you know, how the heck has that worked out so far? How is that impacting me as a woman? Do I feel empowered when I realize that the man that I've been so close to in such a special way really doesn't care about me that much? That when I wake up in the morning with him, I'm wanting more intimacy, emotional intimacy, but he's kind of thinking about what the heck he's going to do next in his day and how is he going to get me out the door? Yeah, I don't know if you've seen the movie. There's a new movie out right now called Bridesmaids. It's absolutely hilarious. But there's some darker truths in it. And one of them is the main character is sleeping with a guy who absolutely objectifies her. He sees her as nothing more than a body. And the scene where she wakes up in the morning with him and she's cuddling up to him and he actually says to her, "Now I'm just trying to figure out how to get you to leave, but I don't want to sound like a jerk." Well, of course he did sound like a jerk by saying that. But most of the time men don't actually say that, but that is the feeling that you get. So if you look back at your history and you see that you've done that more than once, maybe multiple times, then I think it's time to take stock and to say, "You know what? That is not working for me." The number one temptation that women succumb to in dating is having sex too soon. And it's because of this whole idea, the free love mythology, that it doesn't hurt to take those risks, that, you know, what the heck? You know, this is like Sex in the City nowadays. If you are attracted to someone, go ahead and sleep with them, and it will probably turn into a relationship because, you know what, that's how it works in the movies. But I'm telling you, it does hurt. For most women, it does hurt. I've gotten hundreds of emails over the years from women whose hearts were broken because of having sex with men who didn't love them, hoping that they would. Because that is really the myth. That's the myth you have to get over, that you can just hop into bed with a cute, sexy guy that you're really attracted to, and you'll just wake up the next day miraculously in a great relationship. That when you wake up the next day, he immediately will ask you for the next day, and then after that, the next, and the next, and it turns into love. Because, after all, that's how it works in the movies. You know what? Once in a blue moon, it actually works that way. You know, I don't know what the percentages are. I know it's very, 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 very low. It's very rare for me to hear from someone who says, "You know what, I met my husband and we had sex on the second date and we've been in love ever since." I do hear those about those people. But the reality is that the vast majority of those instant sex relationships do not work out that way, and it's not worth the risk for most women. So if you want a terrific relationship, then maybe it's time to change your behavior, to change your attitude and your behavior, and to make a promise to yourself to be more protective of yourself, to guard your heart a bit until you know if you have someone that you share values with, someone who's also interested in marriage. And so if you can make a commitment to yourself first to be more caring of yourself, I think you're more likely to get a commitment from someone else. So why not make a vow to yourself to back off of sex until you're in a committed relationship with someone who shares your values and is on track with you down the path toward marriage? I know, it's a radical thought in today's world. Why in the world would you wait? But even better, wait until you're planning your wedding. That's an even more radical thought. Wow, wait until you're planning your wedding. Are you kidding me, Nina? Why would I wait that long? Even better, wait until your wedding. Wow, what a radical thought. These are radical notions to actually put off sexuality until you have a commitment, until you're engaged or married. And you know what? I get really criticized by other people for saying them. Can you believe it? I actually get criticized for encouraging women to not be promiscuous and to protect themselves from being viewed as sex objects by men. Yep, I've actually been called sexist for having this point of view. Can you believe it? And, of course, I am the exact opposite of sexist. I am what you would call the modern version of a feminist. I believe it is a modern version in that I really believe in women protecting themselves, not being sexually promiscuous. But I also believe that women are, of course, the complete equal of men. We're not alike, but we're equal. That is how I see it. My work is all about women doing what empowers them, not putting themselves in the insecure, one-down position of having sex too soon for them emotionally and then hoping that he will fall in love. You know, somebody once said, hope is not a strategy. And it's not. It's not a strategy. Hope is what you have when you don't have a strategy, when you don't know how to construct a strategy for your life that really works. Then you have hope. Well, I would suggest that you do construct a strategy. And if you haven't already read my book, Temptations of the Single Girl, go out and get it. It's available on Kindle. It's an easy, quick download. You can read it tonight. You can probably read it in one evening, and it will begin to change your life. So here's the truth about love. We are gloriously free today to love whom and how we wish. It's a wonderful, wonderful freedom. But remember, with love, and of course I'm including sex and sexuality, comes great responsibility. Love and sexuality are aspects of a relationship, and that means that we connect with another human being who has his or her own feelings, heart, wish, desires, and so on. And we have a responsibility to consider our own dreams and wishes and to be upfront about them with a potential partner if you want marriage, say so. We also have the responsibility to ask the other person about their hopes and dreams and wishes and to make decisions based on what is in the highest and greatest good of both parties. Just because it feels good today doesn't mean we should do it. Let's make choices based on what provides enrichment in our lives over the long haul. Let's make choices based on those things that make a positive difference, not only in our lives, but in the lives that we touch. Well, thank you for joining me on the show today. I want to give a very special acknowledgement to my loving and devoted husband, Mark, and I want to invite you to join us again for more love strategies. I'll see you the next time.
Thank you for joining us at Love Strategies. Be sure and visit the premier website for single men and women who want to date smart, singlescoach.com. Sign up for the newsletter and you'll get notifications for this show as well as other free dating tips. If you want a coach to support you in your growth and recovery, go to Singles Coaching on the website and choose personal coaching. That's it for today, and be sure and tune back in for more love strategies so you can date smart and find the love of your life.